Hi, metal fans. I'm Rafael Bittencourt from Angra, and you're watching CMS TV. Keep on.
And what is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another edition of Chris Aiken Presents. I'm Chris Aiken. Yeah, that way. That's Eric Ferrantinos. Eric, how are you, brother?
Doing great, Chris. How are you, my friend?
I'm good, man. I'm glad to see that you made it back from your crazy weekend in Texas. I worry when you go down near the border anymore, man. I start to worry about your health and your life, and it sounds like it's pretty dangerous down there.
No, we were totally taken care of there, and amongst friends, we went to Colony, Texas, and played Lava Cantina. We did the Out of the Cellar record there, and it went great. You might have heard about the new drummer.
I heard there's a guy, huh?
We got a guy.
Got a guy.
Well, Scott Coogan, who's played with us for a long time, has been doing a lot of stuff with Ace, and then most recently Ace moved on to Big Time Entertainment, which is the same agent that we use for Steven.
Okay.
And so there was just going to be conflicts on dates, and what there was going to be shows he couldn't do, and it was just getting to a point where he was going to have to figured out, and he loves playing for Ace. That's one of his heroes, so sure. He's doing great there, and we had an opportunity to get Blas Elias of Slaughter fame, and wow, what an awesome dude he is.
Now, is this your first time meeting him?
Yeah. No, I actually met him when we played in Vegas recently, but it was only for a moment.
Okay.
I was out by the merch area, and I think he was walking with Jason or something, and I met him really quick, and he was nice. And in this situation, I was just trusting that he, did his homework and learned the songs, right? But he totally did. Like, I didn't hear anything mistakes from him, it was just impressive. But for folks that don't know, he plays with the Trans-Siberian Orchestra.
Right.
Every year.
Before that, he was in the Blue Man Group, right?
That's right.
He did that. And, of course, Slaughter in the heyday.
Mm-hmm.
He was the guy with the This Space for Rent kick drum, if I remember correctly.
That's right. Yeah, I mean, he was definitely, I guess, in our world, a household name.
Sure.
As far as a drummer, everybody my age knew who he was in Slaughter. And he looks the same, which is the strangest part.
We talked about that on the CMS on Saturday night.
Yeah.
We were talking about, because I think it broke like Friday, maybe, is when you finally posted it, or Steven or somebody posted it online, that Blas was going to be playing with you guys. And first, Neely, Mr. What's he look like now?
Right.
That's how he always is.
What's he looking like these days?
Yeah, exactly. And I was like, that dude looks like he did when he was 23.
Yeah.
And we pulled up the photo, and he looks just like he did when he was 23. I was like, damn, dude, that's not even fair.
No. But it was nice to have, somebody there that did his homework and learned everything. So that show was cool. Great time at that. It was good to be back. We had like a month and a half right. off. So then we headed over to San Antonio, and we were there. We met up with Tim Morrow, who was the CEO of the zoo, the San Antonio Zoo.
Sure.
So the day we fly in, that next day, he offers to get us hooked up over at the Alamo. First off, get a full private tour of the Alamo, and then head over to the San Antonio Zoo to meet him and get a private tour of the zoo. So this was about to turn into the coolest day ever. Like, I didn't even know that this was going to happen.
Now, nobody whipped their dick out at the Alamo, did they?
No, that's funny. I did send a photo your way of the monument that is actually where Ozzy did his business back in the day. I don't know if you're able to get that up.
Did you
And
email
right.
it?
I did. It does say, I believe it says Alamo on there. I guess while I'm talking to you about the Alamo, you
Yeah,
can
I'm
see if it
looking.
comes in. Some of that stuff gets delayed when I email Chris things at the last
Yeah,
minute.
no, I did not get the Alamo one. I got the pictures of the zoo, but
Did you, I think I sent altogether about three emails.
yeah, I got
So,
two. I got
okay,
two of
one's
those.
probably on its way soon, and
It'll
that
get
one.
here by like 10,
Yeah,
15.
exactly. Well, there's for those who haven't been to the Alamo in San Antonio, there's a monument that I think was built in the 1930s or something that's really beautiful out front. But the actual Alamo's a good football field away from there.
Right.
And you get to go inside and actually check out, you know, the perimeter of it and everything. But they explained that Ozzy had probably didn't even know where he was at the time. And just walked, got off the bus and took and urinated on this monument
Right.
For the Battle of Alamo. So when they say he peed on the Alamo, that never actually happened. It was just the tour guy was explaining that.
So then why was he kicked out of Texas for like a decade or whatever if he didn't really do it?
Well, I mean, there was problems. Like he didn't go too far into that, but ultimately he apologized, and I think he made a decent donation
Yeah, there
over
you
to
go.
them. And then I think he came in and performed over there, or he actually came and did a whole tour of the place and everything.
Okay.
One on another music note, fascinating thing was one of the biggest contributors to the artifacts that are in there was from Phil Collins,
Really?
the drummer, the Genesis
Yeah.
singer, solo artist of all people. He gave like $15 million worth of his collection, just gave it
Wow.
to them.
Jeez.
He's
Of
one of
course,
these.
$15 million to him is like me and you giving up like $200, but.
Yeah, he's definitely was one of the most successful 80s people artists. But seeing the Alamo, you know, you do get kind of choked up a little seeing the history there and realizing that we lost, you know, lost the Alamo there. They ended up getting it back, but Davy Crockett and everybody died there, apparently or
Right.
allegedly. I mean,
Now,
they go
how
ahead.
much did you know going in?
Not much that Ozzy peed on the monument and there was a battle there. And I thought we won the thing. I didn't realize what it was. And it made me sad when I was seeing the lives lost and the story about, you know, them supposedly seeing David Crockett's hat. He had his like squirrel cap or whatever.
Right.
It was off to the side. They're like, that was him. He was dead there. And David Bowie, the Bowie knife guy.
Okay.
Yeah,
I don't
like
think that
these.
was David Bowie, was it?
Isn't his name that?
I don't
I
know.
thought
I don't.
from the knife. I take a bunch of video from this that I am going to be putting up on my site. But going into it, didn't know that much. I knew there was a battle there, but yeah, it turns out they kind of lost the battle there, and the Alamo wasn't even like finished yet at that point. They were trying to like build a spot there so there could be worship and like town meetings and stuff, and it never
Right.
got finished. Which it got attacked, and you could see like bullet holes in it on the outside. You could see where a cannonball hit it on the front.
Wow.
But the coolest thing I saw in there was little displays that had the weaponry of the era.
Okay.
They had all the Mexican armament and Native American armament. They had the rifles and everything that the Texas, you know, army or whatever had. They actually let us go, just like at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, how they give the musicians like a special tour where they take you into the vault. I think I told you about
Sure,
that.
yeah.
This was very similar in the sense that they took us back into the vault of the Alamo, and we got to like hold some of these cool knives and swords and rifles and stuff. There was these huge rifles.
Right.
But Yeah, it was neat to just get a history on that stuff. Like, because for the longest time, the Indians were the ones that had the advantage. They were able to like shoot a bunch of arrows in a short amount of time. And like when the soldiers had muskets and stuff like that, it took like a minute to reload it and everything. Sure. So it took like till they had the first like repeating, you know, firearm to be able to like stand up to that.
Right. Wow.
In battle, all of it's pretty fascinating. I'm still like taking it all in. I mean, I took a bunch of video, as I said, that I'm going to post on my pages and stuff for people to check out from there, where I kind of do a tour of the inside so they could see that the weapons and everything and hear a little bit about the guy talking. So that was cool. And then we headed over to the zoo where we met Tim, who's the CEO of the place. How cool is that?
That is so cool.
They have a house on there that he, I think, stays at with his family, I believe, or sometimes. But it's right there. It's like right on the premises of the zoo. And what was cool is he had drinks and stuff there. So we had like got to have drinks before he took us on the golf cart and started driving us around the zoo, which closes like around 5. And that's what time it was, I think, by the time we got there. Okay. 'Cause we had flown in from
Colony.
Whatever. Yeah. So everything's closed. So it's kind of just us driving down, checking out all these exotic animals and everything, which was awesome. Then we got to feed some animals.
Okay.
Like he takes it to this one spot. All of a sudden it's like giraffes coming our way and ostriches, and there's like vultures everywhere. And it's like, we were transported into Africa.
Right.
You know, I had no idea we were going to be doing any of this. And this is Bloss, Johnny, me, Jason, and Matt.
Yeah, was this where, and I don't know if I'm supposed to even talk about it because I don't remember where I saw it, but is this where the snakes were?
Right. That was part of it. Like they took the caretakers for each one of these animals I'm going to talk about. He took us there and we would get off his little tram thingy. Golf cart, excuse me, yeah. And walk over, and they would take up over the tour and talk about those animals. The snake part that you were talking about was the hardest part for me because I'm totally afraid of snakes.
Right. Yeah, I noticed I didn't see a video of you holding a snake.
No, I'm like, it took me a while just to creep into that little air-conditioned room. I was okay, no thanks. And the guy that like does that tour was kind of offended, you know, because that's his life, you know, or these snakes, he loves them, and he's, you know, and I was like, yeah, I'm cool. Like I mean I feel so uncomfortable being anywhere near a snake. I always did as a kid in the pet store or whatever.
Right.
I had a couple incidents as a small kid that freaked me out. With one was when they took a snake to our school and kind of put it on us, and it felt like it was constricting on us, and that messed me up. And then another time I was playing with some kids outside from the block, and on one of the sides of one of the kids' houses, there was these cinder blocks that went down into the ground. I guess there was a little gardener snake, or garden snake, as I would say. Is it gardener?
I think it's a gardener snake.
Gardener, like Janet Gardner, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Anyways, one of those was down there. We were like tossing little pebbles down there to see if it would move or whatever, and at some point we dropped something and it jumped out of there at us, and I was the smallest kid that was like put in the front of everybody that was trying to like get back as the snake was coming at us, like
right,
and I was like and I always remember that, and I don't know, I have like an inherent fear of snakes plus those incidents as a kid, and now I just stay away from them. I just don't want to be anywhere near them, and here we are all of a sudden, surprise, you're going into snake room. It's like room that was just had like probably like 30 snakes in these tanks, and it was this tight room, man. It was like walking into a small refrigerator room or something, and I didn't like it. Those guys went right in, and I'm like, oh, I'll wait out here, and then I looked like a jerk, and then I kind of opened up the door a little bit, and you know, I saw that they all had padlocks on all the things,
snake, so
I
go, cages, all right, or whatever.
Cages, yeah, and then I heard him saying something about what's the stuff, anti-venom, like that they're one of the main anti-venom places, so in the event that a snake did bite one of us or something, they have the anti-venom there and everything. So I was like, calm down, come on, just kind of walk in there.
Fuck, dude, you're still braver than me. I no way on the snakes. I'm like you, I want nothing to do, even a little tiny tiny, tiny snake, if it's in my grass or whatever, I'm looking for a lawnmower. I'm like, I don't want nothing to do with snakes.
Right. Would I eat a snake? I think I have. And I would.
I've eaten it.
But they just, for some reason, they just bother me. But I felt bad about the guy, and I felt like a wimp in front of Bloss. And him and Johnny, next thing you know, were like holding some pythons. And I filmed this.
Yeah.
Now,
that's what I saw.
The audience can, Chris saw it because he is a subscriber to the Eric Ferrantino's subscriber page. If you go to my Facebook, you can find the link for that on a few of our posts that we that we put, and you can, it's like only $1 a month to be a member, and I put all kinds of cool stuff up there. But you'll see the video of Johnny Monaco and Bloss Elias with panthers, and I'm freaked out there, and they're playing with them, like, and they're like, hey Eric, you know, you want to try it? I'm like, I'm good, man, I'm good. No, yeah, thank you.
I liked your hashtag. #nope.
Yeah. There was no way I was going to do that. Now, what I did enjoy was the giraffes. Like, they came over. We got to feed those giraffes. This one giraffe I was feeding named Braden was super cool. We got taken to where the rhinos are. Have you ever touched a rhino?
No. I hate animals. I'm not an animal guy.
These things are huge, man. I mean, they would make you feel skinny, Chris. Well,
they're as big as a car, aren't they?
They're like, according to them, they're like several tons.
Yeah, they're like 2 or 3 tons, right?
Right. Yeah. I mean, they would totally kill a human. You know, all these animals, they gave us a bunch of rules, you know, before they came over, stay behind this and don't do this. And, you know, I was like, hey, cool. I wasn't going to mess around. But I did end up like petting this rhino, and they were cool, like any animal. Like, you know, they liked it. You know, they were coming over, and they would feed these animals. Like, they put these animals in a good mood by having their favorite snack there, because some guests are coming to tour the facility or whatever. So they have the eucalyptus or, you know, whatever their favorite tree. Oh yeah. So here, this, now you're moving along here. Now this is
what is that?
This is a hippo.
There's a difference.
It's all good. It's all good. There is a difference between a hippo and a rhino. Hippos are totally different. Hippos are even bigger. Yeah. Hippos are even bigger. But this is Timothy, who coincidentally is running for president. So if you're in the middle, you don't like Trump, you don't like Biden, I want you to know that Timothy here is in fact running for president. And you can look him up at the San Antonio Zoo website.
You sent me a sign, right?
Right. This is legit. Chris is getting it loaded up here. Timothy 2024, Naps for All.
That's a good slogan. I'm surprised that's not Biden's slogan, though.
I guess this there's another hippo that is in another zoo that he sends gifts to, apparently, and they have this romance that they're building up and everything. But yeah, just to, you know, throw some funny on the elections. Sure. I guess Timothy's trying to get on the ballot.
Yeah. Jesus Christ.
But we got to feed these animals. Put him back on if you can. Yeah. Pretty sure that was him. But we got to like throw like heads of lettuce into the mouths of these hippos, which was crazy. Now the game, do you remember the game Hungry Hippos?
Yeah, to hit the little thing, catch the marbles.
Playing hungry hippos. Yeah. They're actually coming out with a new version of the game, for real, not a joke. They're going to be reinstating the game, and Timothy's going to be part of it.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah. He's going to be part of it, and he's going to be featured on the game.
Damn, you met a celebrity.
Yeah. There's a celeb feeding a celebrity over here. So, you know, when you're all buzzed and stuff and you're getting driven around here first class and doing this was just like something else, man.
Now, were you buzzed up drunk or a little pot or what were you doing?
No, no, I mean, it was, I would say, let's see, I did a few White Claws. And then he had some whiskey cokes.
All right.
he was giving out. And then now after we were done with the zoo, he took us to this amazing Mexican restaurant that was in town. It wasn't Tex-Mex either. It was like authentic. It was this huge place. I'm forgetting the name of it. But there we had these like really strong margaritas too, like on top of that. And I think they were like Panther shots or something. I'm forgetting the name of the shots they had out. It was a few shots of those. So yeah, I ended up having like, and I don't normally drink anymore.
Right.
So, you know, by the time I got back to the hotel, I was like, hit the sack, man. I was like, oh, and I remember having to get up and get some water. So yeah, I got pretty tore up, but it was a great time I didn't expect to have. Sure. That day. I think the whole band did. It kind of, I think, made Bloss think that we're cooler than we are, or like have more fun than we usually do. One thing that's funny, this picture, you know how sometimes on photos, when you look at the information on a photo, it'll see that there's an animal there. It'll say mammal. And you're like, do you want more info? And you can hit the button. And I thought it was interesting that Siri didn't know what this was. It was like saying it was a frog or something else, which made me think that AI isn't anywhere near where they say it is.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
Of course not. But if they tell you it is, then you'll just believe it and use it and get dumber.
Yeah, just get everybody freaked out. But no, I don't want to leave it to AI to make any important decisions when it can't tell the difference between a hippo or a frog.
Yeah, well, they're the same. Same size. Same
it way. Says a common... It said first, you know, and I do have this here. This is... But it said nine-banded armadillo, species of a mammal. And then it said common frog, species of amphibian. Like it couldn't tell from a full-blown face recognition, which normally that's what's used as the face, right? Everything.
Yeah. You would think it would know this one is Timothy. You wouldn't think it's a frog.
And maybe it isn't Timothy. I mean, it's hard for me to tell these the hippos apart,
right?
Or any of the animals for that matter. But this is a hippo. Tell you that. I don't know if it's Timothy that's running for president, but super cool. When they open their mouth, man, oh my god, it's just like it to be like standing 2 feet from that was incredible. They
I've
could
seen
totally
video where they like take a full watermelon and just throw it in there and it's like boop,
right?
I'm like, damn,
crush it. I mean, I would think that they would how they would kill a human in there. I don't know if they would do it by eating you. They'd probably stomp you. They would just crush you and just trample you, probably just
fall on you.
Right. Just
boom, you'd be done.
The rhinos, that was interesting. I was petting the one and it was like the skin super rough.
Right.
And that was like not pleasurable to pet. You're okay. Just like, whoa, I don't know what to compare it to. Like it was kind of like trying to pet an asphalt street or something. But it seemed to enjoy it when I was doing it.
Is one of them like run? Does a rhino run? Is that what they do?
They can run. Yeah, they can
charge at people and charge it.
Yeah, they could do that. I mean, they could definitely do that. The other one was the dragon, the Komodo dragon.
Mm-hmm.
That thing can mess you up. And he was mentioned a few times where people that were working there that accidentally get into a cage of some animal there and can get attacked or something like that. And that was one of the animals that'll mess you up, like just take the meat right off the bone.
Right.
Those Komodo dragons are nasty and they're big. They're big too. They can get large. The one in San Diego is super huge. But this that had they showed us one there that was pretty good size too.
All right. Explain to me this.
Right. I thought that was funny. I took a picture of it. Have you ever seen a sign like that before? Splatter
not
zone.
That one, not a splatter zone from a back of a rhino's hippo. Ass or a hippo's ass.
I think that was that was a hippo. That was splatter zone. Yeah. That's great.
Boy, that makes you want to go in there, doesn't it?
Right.
See a sign like that. Oh yeah, let's go in there.
I have to say though, but it seemed that most of the animals were excited to come over no matter what they were, giraffes, rhinos, hippos. But again, they know that they're getting fed. They had us come. I think they intentionally had us come around their feeding time.
Okay.
You know, so, and they had treats for some of them as well. Was there any other pictures that came through from,
let's see. Let me kill the ones that I've shown so far. Timothy sign we killed. Oh, there's one more.
Okay.
This one fits right in with the show.
Oh, yes. I did. I put this in there for you, Chris.
That's great.
So there is at the zoo, they have a Pantera walk. And it's just a little kind of walk-in area where you can go and check out the panthers or whatever.
If somebody says something to you, you just turn around and go, "Are you talking to me?"
Yeah. Isn't that awesome?
That is pretty cool. Now, right. Do they have like a panther in there? Like a panther?
I think so. I mean, we didn't go that way. Okay. we headed off a different way, and I think he was maybe working on the dinner reservations. We had to get kind of going over to the other place. But,
right.
Those are just a few photos. I have stuff on my Facebook that you could see of feeding the giraffes. And then if you, I urge you to become a subscriber. Yeah. You can go check out some more stuff. You can watch Bloss and Johnny playing with the snakes.
Right.
Other cool stuff. I started documenting some of the music I'm working on. So I said I wasn't going to put that out to the general public, but I started to do that on the subscriber page, and that's everybody cool. On there was digging that. I had like my 12 string out, and I was doing a kind of moody, cool 80s kind of song. And I'm going to be adding to that, and then putting clips of other cool stuff too.
Very good.
I'm trying to think of what other funny stuff. I remember there's a video on my Facebook they could check out of us in the Colony where we went to this bar that was having karaoke.
Yeah, I did see that too. It's like you and Matt Thorne just like annoyed as shit.
Yeah, and well. I started filming just myself, and then Johnny was sitting next to me, and this guy decides, this really drunk dude decides to start singing Billy Joel. And of all the Billy Joel songs, he decides to do We Didn't Start the Fire, which is like a ridiculous amount of lyrics to sing, for one. And but this guy was just like the worst, and this place was so loud. It wasn't a big place, and they had the PA system was just cranking, but it was just, the whole scene was so ridiculous that you just had to laugh. He's actually pulling it up here. Okay.
Oh, it's a duet.
I'm just filming myself.
Boo!
You know what we used to talk about? I need to crack it at right.
Commie hip hop.
Did you just say commie hip hop?
This is awful. I'd have been throwing shit.
I was like, the first thing I said there was, can he not read the teleprompter? Because he was like, I wasn't recognizing some of the words.
Was he drunk? Obviously.
Oh my God. This dude, it was like a whole office of after work people.
Oh Jesus.
And it was like watching an episode of The Office or something and unraveling at this place.
So
it was like,
he was the guy in the office that's cool, but really is a douchebag.
No, he was a dork. He was like, whatever. He wasn't doing well at this thing. He probably thought he was doing great.
I'm sure he came back and somebody in the office high-fived him. That was fucking great, man.
Well, at first there was some girls standing there from the office. They're like, "Ooh, yeah, go, Chris," or Craig or whatever his name was. But then he just starts getting really crazy with it. He's like, he's totally insane. Like, let it roll. Let it roll.
All right, let's go.
California, small,
Stop.
What the hell? So,
that sounds like right there. Sounds like he says, children of the litter box. I just think that's so funny. It sounds like he said, children of the litter box. What I don't know what douche. That means.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I like doing karaoke, but I hate when that guy shows up. And he shows up in every karaoke.
Totally. I noticed the theme with karaoke at most places. Like, they'll have like 8 really shitty people and then like 2 friends that just pop in to do a song or two and have a shot and leave. They go, you guys are the good singers in town. Mm. You show up here. You can have 2 free drinks for 2 songs. And that just make it so at least one person sounds good tonight.
Or it's either that guy or you know who the other guy is that shows up a lot at karaoke? The guy that's in a local band and is a singer, but in karaoke land, he's a god.
Right.
But then when you see his band, you realize why he's in a local band and not a national band. You know, that guy tends to show up a lot too. And he sings right after the most drunk person. Then he gets up there and does something, and then you're just like, oh, you feel like you saw, like, I don't know, Robert Plant after seeing this guy, you know.
this place was located like where there was a bunch of hotels in the parking lot, so it was likely that they might not even be local people there. You know, they might have just been a team of people coming in for a business meeting or something, and they just walked over there like we did, and then just got wasted and started singing or what have you. But yeah, there was like groups. It looked more like business groups there.
Right. For the most part. Did anybody recognize you guys?
No, but they saw us laughing our ass off. A few people were laughing while we were laughing.
That's probably good that they didn't recognize you guys, right? Because you were laughing at them.
Well, that guy, you know, we were in the extreme. You can take us on full screen again. Right. We were like in the furthest point back.
Okay.
In this bar. And the stage was on the far opposite side, and there was probably like 30 people in this place.
Right.
The worst service ever, as far as like how long it took to get, you know, some food. We were ready to like hang ourselves by the time.
Well, when you have a rock star like that guy playing, why would you stop to cook the food?
I think one of us got up there and harassed him to come over. The food actually wasn't bad, though. I have to say, the good news, like, I got a good salad. Those guys got fish, of all things. Was good. But yeah, it was funny. On my Facebook, I said dinner was served with a side dish of awful Billy Joel karaoke. Yeah.
Well, it sounds like a fun weekend, man. Sounds like overall a fun week, I guess. It wasn't even on the weekend. You were home, what, Saturday?
That was cool, too. Yeah, I ended up getting home Saturday. So I was home by 2:30 in the afternoon. The time change kind of messed me up. I didn't sleep all that great out there. So it's taken me a couple of days just to adjust.
But, right.
Yeah, well, I'm home for about another week next week. M3's next week, you know.
Yeah, we just talked to Mark Ferrari like on the Seth show like an hour or two ago. He's going to be out there with you guys at M3.
Who's he playing with?
Cold Sweat.
Oh, okay. Nice.
Yeah, Cold Sweat's out there playing, so he's going to be out there with them. But yeah, he was 5'4", 5'5", something like that.
Maybe. Yeah, I've met Mark before. He's a cool dude. He's a very good dude.
Yeah, he's real nice, real smart man.
He's got a music library guy also that does music licensing and next Thursday, Beacon Theater, Hopewell, Virginia, with Faster Pussycat.
Okay.
Opening up, and then Elevation 27 the next day in Virginia Beach. Then M3 is sold out that Saturday. That'll be our third show in a row.
You guys headlining that?
I don't know if we are. I think there's a band playing after Steven. I'm not certain. I'm not 100% certain on that.
Still, dude, it's probably better if you don't headline it, because you get to play it like what, 9 o'clock then.
Right. I think I have to look at the schedule. I might have got a schedule. I didn't look at it yet.
M3 Festival. I'm looking right now.
Our buddy Pete Evick had asked me about jamming with them the night before at the hotel, and I'm going to have to tell him that that's a no-go because we're playing that Elvis.
Queensryche is the headliner.
All right.
Wow, you got a good day, though, man. Queensryche, Stephen Piercy of Rat, Last in Line, Quiet Riot, Lynch Mob, Doro, Aldo Nova, Child's Play, and Van Halen.
That sounds awesome to me.
Sounds pretty good to me too. It's pretty good. That's a pretty good roster.
Yep, that's a fun day right there.
Yeah, and then the next day is Bret Michaels with Dee Snider, Night Ranger, Striper, Y&T, Faster Pussycat, Cold Sweat, Pink, Pretty Boy Floyd. I thought they were done. Okay.
Well, they just don't have the guitarist with them right now. There's a big
there's a big legal thing going on, I thought.
Yeah, with Steve Summers and I'm forgetting the guitarist's name at the
Christy Crash Majors.
Right, Christy Crash. So they're having a huge war back and forth.
Yeah. Well, knowing how litigious Christy Majors is, I will be saying nothing.
Right.
Same. Good luck to both sides. That's right. All I got to say. I don't want to
whoever legally can say the most win. Yeah.
Look, I don't want to be sued, so I hope Christy wins big.
That's right. Yeah, but I mean, it sounds like I'll see Pete after our show because he'll still be in town. But that's bummed I'm not going to get to play his little hotel jam party thing he asked me about.
Yeah, well, it happens, dude. That's life as a rock star, isn't it? You don't always get to do the things you want to do because you're committed.
There was it wasn't on my calendar. I thought it was just going to be a travel day and it wouldn't have been a problem.
Right.
But then I looked at Steven's site last week and then he had added it in there and I was like, oh man, okay. I mean, I'm happy to play, of course.
Sure. Absolutely. Well, I'll tell you what, dude, let's do this. Take a little break. Sell some guitar picks.
Right.
These ones.
Yeah.
These ones right there. Sell some guitar picks and then we'll come back and we'll talk about something in the news today that always gets people fucking mad. All right. It has to do with rock and roll, but we'll do that in a minute. So check it out. It is Chris Hagen Presents.
It's the limited edition 6-mix set from Eric Ferrantino's. Get your autograph set today at ericpicks.cmspn.com. $25 includes first class shipping. I drank a float with the keys to your city. I spent your service down to your life. I see the signs that were here.